There's a story I once heard about a driver, and it seems like so many of my stories are about drivers. I don't know why that is. This driver went on an angry tirade directed at a second driver after they both pulled over to the side of the road. Now, I don't know the stimulus for the tirade, but that's not the relevant part of the story. The relevant part of the story is that after this ugly confrontation, as the angry driver pulled away, the other driver could not help but be amused by the bumper sticker prominently displayed on the car of the angry driver. It read, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Perhaps it was the much-needed prayer of someone who knew themselves all too well. I'll get back to that story in a few moments. Many Unitarian Universalist congregations love the idea of being radically inclusive, and so this morning I thought I would explore how we can move in that direction. In writing this sermon, it occurred to me that there are different ways to think about inclusivity, and it is vitally important to understand some distinctions. First, there are those we claim to welcome. We want to welcome everyone. But as you will hear in a few minutes, this is a goal that often eludes us. Second, there are those that we welcome in actual practice. For a variety of reasons, which I will explore today, those we actually welcome is smaller than those we claim to welcome. And third, there are those we intentionally and actively prepare to welcome. This preparation will address the barriers that often make it difficult to welcome those who are not in the majority. This preparation may involve change, and change is perhaps the most unsettling thing a congregation can undertake. The reason radical inclusion is difficult is because we as individuals and congregations have patterns of behavior that are difficult to change. The technical term is homeostasis. It says that we may have the best of intentions and may make small efforts and even large efforts to welcome others, but the tendency will be to fall back into established patterns and return to a place of comfort. In just a moment, I will discuss various groups who often do not feel welcome in Unitarian Universalist congregations. I do so because I find that to be more welcoming, of bridging differences, to learn from others who have different life experiences, who have different ways of being in the world, that this is one of the highest forms of personal and spiritual growth. The groups that I'm going to mention may very well push certain buttons for you. That is, what I have to say might stimulate some discomfort for you. But I do want to earnestly explore what it means to be inclusive, more welcoming in widely and wildly ways. So let's get started. Perhaps the most common way for congregations to express their desire to be more inclusive is to say we want to welcome those who are not like us. We want to welcome those who are differently abled. We want greater racial and ethnic diversity. Perhaps we want greater age diversity or economic diversity. A number of years ago, I was visiting another congregation, and I was speaking to a woman who stated that she wanted more diversity in her congregation. Since I had noticed that classical music was played every Sunday, I asked her if she would be willing to experience other kinds of music. "Oh, no," she said. She looked forward to that classical music every Sunday. That shouldn't change. The task of any congregation that is interested in greater diversity is to look at all the things they do and ask, who do our programs serve, including who is served in our Sunday morning worship? I want to suggest that as long as we do things in this space that serve only us and what we like, then we will continue to attract people just like us. And that is not a formula for radical inclusivity. If, for example, we want to include those with less economic means, it will affect where we meet, what transportation is available or that we make available, and the cost to participate in congregational activities. And I will tell you, I am learning that it can be difficult for individuals to ask for a scholarship, even a confidential scholarship, and admit that they are struggling financially. I need to tell you that I learned these things as a parish minister, how difficult it can be to sometimes admit we couldn't pay our bills last month. One of the claims that we make as Unitarian Universalists is that we celebrate religious diversity. I'm delighted that we are celebrating Beltane on the Gaelic May Day Festival this morning. One of the ways that my own spirituality has been nurtured is through the celebration of nature and the natural world. For many, you use earth-centered or pagan religions serve as their primary religious practice. And many congregations, including Greenville, I learned this morning, it's now 10 years old, has a Cups chapter. Cups is the covenant of Unitarian Universalist pagans. Beltane, a pagan fertility rite, is celebrated about the midpoint between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. And I am so grateful for the leadership in this morning's service that you have brought, all of you, and what you have brought to our service this morning. One group that has struggled to be welcomed in Unitarian Universalist congregations is Christians. In every congregation I have served, Christians have told me privately that they are closeted because of anti-Christian sentiment they experience in the congregation. This is in the congregations I have served. That anti-Christian sentiment is sometimes overt and sometimes it's subtle. Here is how it can happen subtly. A member once shared during Joys and Sorrows that a Christian neighbor told her son he was going to hell. It was clearly a moment of great grief and pain for the member who spoke. And as troubling as the neighbor's actions were, the way it was told could be seen as condemning all Christians. It would have been sufficient and equally as strong to say that a neighbor told my son that he was going to hell. In other words, whatever issue concerns us, I find it more helpful to focus on the issue, on the actions of another, rather than the group that a person may belong to. There is a second group that remains closeted in many Unitarian Universalist congregations. The second group I'm speaking about are those who are more conservative in their views. They often remain closeted, believing that the welcome mat does not include them. The challenge occurs when those in the majority assume that everyone thinks just the same way they do. In a public discussion, a member of the congregation I serve told a joke about Republicans. Republicans were the butt of the joke. At the time, I inelegantly asked her not to tell such jokes. I will tell you that in compassionate communication this afternoon, I will share a different way of making that request. We must not be silent when people tell jokes about groups, and there are helpful ways and less helpful ways to make those requests. We cannot be silent when entire groups are made the butt of a joke. I once gave a sermon, "Liberal Religion is Not Liberal Politics." In that sermon, I claimed that many who are politically conservative are attracted to liberal religion. And by liberal religion, I mean that we read religious texts liberally, not literally. Liberal religion is not making any statement about politics. It talks about how we are as a religious community, not a political community. To be welcoming is not to say that those who are politically liberal cannot speak their minds, but we must welcome those who are politically conservative. We simply must not assume that the person we're speaking to holds the same political outlook we do. I need to say this again. Respect for diversity does not mean I must remain silent. It does mean, I should say, that I don't assume that you have the same beliefs I do. And it means that I respect and make a place for those who disagree with me. When I ask, how welcoming are we? Let me suggest another group who may not be particularly welcome or feel particularly welcome in our congregations. When I served the Unitarian Universalist congregation in Fredericksburg, Virginia, there was a wonderful woman named Alice. She had many delightful qualities, including the willingness to speak her mind, and she did so without many, if any, constraints. After listening to one of my sermons, she said to the entire congregation that after hearing me speak, she wished she had not come that day. And yet everyone loved Alice, and I am grateful for that. But not everyone will be embraced as Alice was embraced. The group I want to advocate for are those who value our principles, who respect our democratic process, but who can be a little crusty at times and sometimes downright difficult. I'm not suggesting that crusty people be given more voice than others, but neither do we withhold our love from them. And sadly, I'm convinced sometimes we do. Let me speak of other groups who may not feel welcome in our congregations. General Assembly is the gathering of 3,000 to 4,000 Unitarian Universalists each year. And at General Assembly, resolutions are passed on many social justice topics. I personally value that our faith tradition takes a stand on important issues. And yet I know of members in our congregations who do not agree with some of the positions taken at General Assembly or by a majority of the congregation therein. For example, I personally know those who are opposed to the death penalty, who are in favor of the death penalty, who do not support abortion rights, and they do not support hanging a Black Lives Matter banner at their congregation. My observation is that those who hold minority views on social issues are sometimes reluctant to speak out. And so I must ask, is it because those viewpoints would not be welcome or because they may be shunned for their views? I will say one other thing. While I absolutely affirm the right to disagree with the majority view without being shunned, I also believe that a minority view must respect the will of the majority. It can be a challenging balancing act, but doing it well, for me, affirms a healthy democratic process. The majority respecting the minority view and the minority view respecting the will of the majority. How are we doing? Have I lost you? I have more. And this may be the most troubling of all. As Unitarian Universalists, we are very clear that we welcome people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. But what if a visitor or member says that they are uncomfortable with homosexuality or transgender identity? The individuals I am lifting up here, it would seem, are in disagreement with our core values. I am not speaking about someone who brings ill will toward gays or lesbians, but someone who, for whatever reason, is not comfortable with homosexuality. Would they be welcomed here? I believe I understand the challenge of what I'm asking you. It may mean welcoming someone who may not accept you for who you are, or who may not accept your very dear friend because of their homosexuality. I lift up this example because when I first attended a Unitarian Universalist congregation, I was very homophobic. At that point in my life, at the age of 32, I didn't know anyone who was gay or lesbian, or so I thought. And for reasons that are still not clear to me, I had no difficulty believing what our culture in the 1980s was telling me about lesbian, gay and lesbian men and women. As a new Unitarian Universalist, though, I learned new information, I made new friends, and with time, I came to a new way of thinking, which absolutely makes me ecstatic for this faith, because I was welcomed and not shunned. I don't know that I would have reacted well or even stayed around if I had been condemned outright 30 years ago. I had to do this work on my own timing. I lift up this example to say that we are all works in progress. We don't know where any of us is on our journeys. We can still hold on to our Unitarian Universalist values, and we can do so with the greatest of passion and also without condemning those who believe differently for whatever reason. This morning I have presented a number of examples of groups who may not feel included or welcomed in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. I've not done so to force you in one direction or another, but I have done so to wrestle with what it means to be radically inclusive. I love that phrase. My sense is that any of the examples that I have given may require a change in awareness, a change in attitude, a change in practice, and even a change in programming in order to move toward radical inclusion. In our desire to be radically inclusive, I believe that we will fail as often as we will succeed. And yet, like the driver in my opening story, I believe that we each live with a prayer on our hearts or on our bumpers to remind us of who we wish to be. I believe the challenge before us is to engage with our hearts, to listen more than we speak, and to understand more than to be understood. May it be so.